up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Ramswire Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Da Silva. Today we'll be talking about the Rams' win over the Lions. We'll be previewing their upcoming game against the Chicago Bears. Talk about Malcolm Brown's injury and what that means for Todd Gurley and the offense as a whole. We'll be discussing the clinching scenarios with the Rams already locking up the NFC West. And then we'll look at their upcoming schedule and kind of what that means for their playoff scenarios, what seeding they might have, and how the race is going to come down to the Saints and the Rams for the number one seed. And of course, we can't do a podcast without mentioning Aaron Donald, who might be the best player in the world right now, and whether he's going to be an MVP candidate for the Rams this season. Certainly looks like he's deserving of that honor, but with the way the NFL is, considering how favorable the award is for quarterbacks, it's kind of difficult to see him winning MVP this season. We've touched on a lot of this on the Ramswire, so as always, you can follow us on Twitter at the Ramswire, and you can follow me at Cam Da Silva, and be sure to check out the ramswire.usatoday.com. Keep you updated on all the latest news surrounding the Rams as they march towards the postseason. They're 11-1 right now, looking like the best team in football, so it's an exciting time to be a Rams fan and to cover this team. So we'll get right into it, talk about the Lions game, kind of how that went for the Rams. They did win 30-16. Shout out to everyone who participated in the t-shirt giveaway for the Cali Vibes Co. t-shirt. We did have a winner who predicted a 30-17 win. That was the closest prediction, so a t-shirt is on the way for that fan. But the Rams did win 30-16. The score isn't really indicative of how close the game was for the Rams. The Lions had the ball late in the game with a chance to potentially take the lead over the Rams, but Aaron Donald's strip sack was a huge play in the game. The Rams scored a touchdown after that, and really that proved to be almost the difference in the game. Todd Gurley's touchdown run late with a minute and 54 seconds left helped seal it, of course. But the score was only 23-16 before that. If the Rams get stopped on that drive, the Lions potentially get the ball back with a chance to tie. So it was really a close game throughout. After the Rams scored on back-to-back possessions in the second quarter, the teams alternated scoring drives back and forth, whether it was field goals, touchdowns, so on and so forth, throughout the rest of the game. Really, it was a lot closer than I expected it to be. I didn't necessarily think that the Rams were going to keep it as close as they did throughout the game, but they did wind up pulling away with a 30-16 victory, and it was impressive at the end with Todd Gurley kind of clinching the win. Gurley did give fantasy owners a little bit of a heart attack there at the end. He went down at the 2 yard line after ripping off a big 36 yard run. Decided to give up the easy touchdown to milk the clock. He wound up having the Lions burn their last time out. Then the Rams got through the 2 minute warning, so that left the Lions with no timeouts, no clock stoppages at all, and just 1:54 left on the clock with a 14-point deficit for a team that scored 16 points in 58 minutes. It was kind of hard to imagine them scoring two touchdowns that quickly. It was a heads-up play again by Gurley. He did the same thing against the Packers. This time it was a little less necessary. Jared Goff even said they didn't talk about it because they were so far out that it never really even came into the conversation of, hey, if you rip off a big run here, go down at the 2 yard line or 1 yard line to kind of milk the clock. But nonetheless, it just shows the awareness that Gurley does have, and it was fun to see him punch it in after that and get his touchdown that he so deserved. As far as the rest of the game, Jared Goff wasn't very sharp. He was only 17 for 33, 207 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Also lost a fumble. It was by far his worst game of the season. He only had a 68.6 passer rating, averaged a little over 6 yards per attempt, which was his lowest output of the year as well. for whatever reason, he was just missing open receivers. He overthrew Gurley in the flat on an easy pass that probably would have been a touchdown. He missed Tyler Higbee once, overthrew Gerald Everett a couple times. So he was a little bit off. Still, the Rams scored 30 points, even with him having a little bit of a difficult game against a Lions defense that isn't very good. But it just goes to show how balanced this team is. No matter who's having a hot game, if Gurley's off, Goff is usually playing well, and vice versa. So good to see Gurley pick him up. He had 23 carries, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns. Longest run of the season at 36 yards. Also added another 33 on 3 catches. So another 155-yard game for Gurley, who just continues to plug along and have a big season for the Rams. So obviously that's great to see as well. As for the defense, the run defense was not very good. Mark Barron, Corey Littleton really struggled in this one. I saw at least 3 or 4 occasions where Barron just missed a tackle. He had him in the gap alone against LeGarrette Blount. And not that that's an easy tackle to make, but I mean, his effort just it wasn't great for the situation, and it led to some extra yardage. Had a similar situation with Theo Riddick. Just not a great game all around for Mark Barron, who's really struggled throughout this season since coming back from that injury suffered last season. It does beg the question of whether the Rams should kind of give Micah Kizer or someone like that more of a chance, maybe go back to Ramiq Wilson a little bit more. They don't really seem willing to do that. But something needs to improve when it comes to Mark Barron and Littleton. Littleton is having a fine season. He wasn't good on Sunday, but he's been good this season for the Rams. No need to make a change there, but Barron definitely needs to improve. Not surprisingly, Aaron Donald dominated. His stat line looks like something out of a video game. He had 5 tackles, 2 sacks, accounting for 24 yards. He hit Matthew Stafford 4 times. He had 4 tackles for loss. I mean, I posted a couple GIFs on Twitter of him just seemingly teleporting into the backfield against LeGarrette Blount, just getting easy sacks. It's what he's doing right now is absolutely remarkable. And even though he's probably not going to win MVP, he's proving that he's probably the best player in the NFL right now. And regardless of position, he might be the most important player for the Rams. He forced a fumble. It was a diving effort against Stafford. The Rams recovered. Dominican Sue almost picked it up and scored, but the Rams turned it into a touchdown nonetheless on the ensuing drive. He's impossible to block right now. As many times as he's been double-teamed, and a few weeks ago the stat was something like 72%. I'm not sure what it's at now, but for as much as he's double-teamed, he shouldn't have 16.5 sacks, 20 tackles for loss, 32 hits on the quarterback. It's just absurd what he's doing, despite being double and triple-teamed at times, where these offensive linemen just are helpless. There's nothing they can do against him, and that was the case on Sunday with Frank Ragnow and Graham Glasgow, really proving to be incapable of blocking him like so many offensive linemen are. I'll get into Donald a little bit more later in this podcast, but just wanted to touch on his performance against the Lions because it was truly one of the better ones that I've ever seen from a defensive tackle. His fellow running mate, Dominican Sue, returned to Detroit for the first time after spending 5 years there. He obviously went to the Dolphins, but never played against the Lions during his tenure there. He finished the game with 6 tackles. That was tied for 2nd. He hit Matthew Stafford once. Really, it was a good game for him, even though he didn't stuff the stat sheet. But those penalties were a little bit controversial, and really, I don't think there were penalties at all. You can go to my Twitter account and scroll through and see the horse collar tackle and the roughing the passer penalty that he got called for. I mean, the horse collar tackle, it's not as if he left his feet and dragged down Zach Zenner from behind. Sure, he grabbed his nameplate from the back, but he, like the announcer said, he gently placed him down like a puppy. I've never really seen a horse collar tackle like that before. By no means was it a dirty play, but as soon as it happened, as soon as the flag came out, the Boo Birds rained down on Sue. I mean, that's what you expect from a crowd that was so disappointed that he left in 2015 for the Dolphins. Sue obviously has a different side of that story and might think that he should have deserved more money from the Lions, but that's another discussion for another day. But, I mean, and then the roughing the passer penalty was on the Lions' final drive. All he did was shove Matthew Stafford, but given his reputation and him being known as a dirty player, that kind of drew the flag, and maybe the officials had an extra eye on him, just given his history with the Lions, this being his first game back in Detroit. But I wouldn't necessarily criticize Sue at all for either of those flags, because really they weren't penalties in my book. Like I mentioned before, with the win, the Rams did clinch the NFC West. That guarantees them a home playoff game. That's good news. It didn't work in their favor last year when they hosted the Falcons, but they're hoping to not have to play on wildcard weekend this year. It's great that they did clinch the division. As good as the Seahawks are, they don't have a chance to catch the Rams. I'm kind of surprised by how good the Seahawks have been this season after all the turnover that they had on defense and in a few other positions. But they are in the running for the playoffs, and we could potentially see a third matchup between the Rams and Seahawks in the playoffs. So something to keep an eye on there. As for the Rams in the playoff picture, they can clinch a number two seed on Sunday with a win over the Bears. That would give them a four-game lead over Chicago, make them 12-1, and then Chicago would be 8-5. No one would be able to catch them for the number two seed, so that would be a big boost, especially with the Bears being upset by the Giants last week. That was huge for the Rams as far as clinching the number two seed goes. So obviously that's a big boost that could give them a first round bye, give them a little bit extra rest before the playoff hunt or playoff chase begins in January. Right now the Rams are one game ahead of the Saints. That was because the Saints lost to the Cowboys on Thursday night, a game that I could not believe. There was not one thing really working in the Cowboys' favor heading into that game. They didn't have a good pass offense. The Saints had the best run defense in the league. Obviously, the Cowboys have a great defense right now with those linebackers and that young secondary, but I mean, no one expected them to be able to keep up with the Saints' offense, and they didn't have to because the defense shut down New Orleans' offense. So right now they're one game ahead of the Saints. That means they control their own destiny, so to speak, with that number one seed. All they have to do is win out, and then they will have home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. That would obviously only be two games, the division round and then the conference championship, but those are two of the most important games before the Super Bowl, obviously. So keep an eye on the Saints down the stretch with their final four games, and then the Rams have a far easier schedule, which I'll talk about right now. Their only difficult game really remaining on the schedule, I would say, is against Chicago. They're going to get Mitchell Trubisky back. This is an important game. Like I said, they can clinch a number two seed. That'll go a long way towards adding some comfort to the final three games if the Rams do clinch, feeling like they don't necessarily have to press and possibly play all of their starters in the final few weeks. Then they host the Eagles, then they'll play the Cardinals, and then the 49ers to close out the season. So even with the Eagles being 6-6 now, they don't really look like much of a threat to the Rams. They don't have the offense to keep up, even with Carson Wentz getting healthy. It's not a favorable matchup for them, so that's a game that I expect the Rams to win, and really I'm going to predict that they're going to win all four of their remaining games and finish the season 14-1, which would be really remarkable. The Saints have a far more difficult schedule in my mind. They're going to play the Bucs this weekend, then they play the Panthers, the Steelers, and then close out with the Panthers again at home. So that could potentially be three losses. obviously, I don't really think much of the Panthers, but given that they're a divisional foe, you never know what's going to happen in those games. So that's a tough schedule for the Saints, and it really favors the Rams, given that they're only playing one team that's currently above 500. So moving on to the next discussion, which is Malcolm Brown's injury. Sean McVay said on Monday night that Brown did suffer a clavicle injury. He wasn't sure if it was going to be a full-blown surgery where they have to cut him open and go in and repair it, or if it was just a more simple procedure. So because of that, they don't know how long he's going to be out. He compared it to the injury that Robert Woods had last year that kept him out for three games. So if it is similar to that, then it's possible we'll see Brown again this season, which is good news for the Rams, obviously. But it's not great that he's even going to miss any time at all, especially given the timing of the season, where the Rams are with regards to their schedule. It's not ideal for the Rams by any means. So he's gonna be out for, I would expect, at least a couple of games. That's going to give way to John Kelly and Justin Davis having to step up as Todd Gurley's backup. Really, that's going to impact Gurley when it comes to the final few games, him not getting much rest. He's someone who, given the nature of the position with the running backs, you want to get them as much rest as possible. And obviously, having a first-round bye would help a lot, but you don't want to have to give him 25, 30 carries or touches a game in these final few games. You want to be able to rest him a little bit, maybe dial back his touches, and kind of give him a little bit of a rest before the playoffs do begin, because he's such an important part of the offense, where you want him to be full speed, fully healthy, heading into those all-important final games. So not ideal timing for Brown's injury. Who knows how long he's going to be out. I would expect it to be at least a couple games. But you never know with these shoulder and clavicle injuries, especially because of how physical the running back position is for those players. So John Kelly and Justin Davis. Davis has been active 8 times this season. Kelly has been inactive every week. So they're going to have to step up. Brown is a great pass blocker when it comes to stepping up and taking on blitzers and things like that. So that's a difficult aspect to replace for two young running backs like Kelly and Davis. Really, we've seen a lot of good blocks from Brown. We've seen him make some great plays, like that touchdown reception he had a few weeks ago, tiptoeing down the sideline and getting into the end zone. So he's an important player, even though he is just a backup. So that's obviously not a great situation for the Rams or for Gurley specifically, because of how important it is to keep him fresh down the stretch. Moving on to Aaron Donald. Obviously, we talk about him a lot. I've written about him extensively for the Rams. He's an all-world talent and a generational player that doesn't come around often. He leads the league with 16.5 sacks, 20 tackles for loss, 32 quarterback hits. He's had 4 forced fumbles. All of them were recovered by either himself or other Rams players. All of them have led to touchdowns for the Rams. That's the sort of clutch play that you're talking about when Donald's name comes up, because he is such an important player, and most of his damage comes either on first down, where it completely kills a drive and he forces a fumble or pushes teams back, or he just creates turnovers where the offense gets the ball back, usually on a shorter field, and they're given added possessions. Everything about his game right now is suggests that he's going to be the defensive player of the year. I don't really think anyone can contend with him for that. Maybe Von Miller, maybe Khalil Mack. I don't see anyone competing for defensive player of the year right now. And only one player has ever won it unanimously, and that was Michael Strahan. It wasn't Michael Strahan. It was J.J. Watt a few years ago. Michael Strahan has a sack record. I don't see anyone earning any votes really for Defensive Player of the Year besides Donald. And if they do, that means they had a hell of a final stretch to the season where it's going to be, they're going to have a bunch of sacks. They're going to pull within one or two of Donald and kind of make it a little bit of a closer race than it is right now, because as of now, Donald's running away with it. The discussion now becomes whether he can be the NFL MVP. I don't necessarily see that happening as much as he does deserve it. My contributor Andrew Ortenberg wrote on Sunday about how he really does deserve MVP consideration. He's doing a lot of his damage when the game is close, when it's one possession. It's just the award is so often given to quarterbacks because of how important they are to a team's success. You see that with Patrick Mahomes, and now with Kareem Hunt gone, I think that's probably only going to drive up Mahomes' value and make him even more valuable to the Chiefs and in the eyes of voters for the MVP award. Donald is also competing with Drew Brees. He's also competing with Jared Goff on his own team. Todd Gurley is having a historically great season, leads the league in scrimmage yards and touchdowns. So there's a lot of competition out there right now. But Donald, if he's not the most valuable player, he's up there for the best player and possibly the best player in the league for the past two or three years. He's just been that good lately. As far as the Bears game goes this Sunday, like I said, the Rams can clinch the number two seed. So even though this doesn't seem like it's a huge game for them, given the advantage that they do have on the rest of the competition, it is important. It's going to be on Sunday Night Football. That game was flexed into the primetime slot. So it shows that the NFL believes it's going to be either entertaining or they simply see it as an important game for both teams. And it's really going to be. The Bears have a great defense, maybe the best or second best in the league. And they do have an offense that can do something similar to what the Cowboys did to the Saints. Run the ball physically, control the clock, kind of take away possessions from the Rams, and possibly just keep the ball away from Jared Goff and Todd Gurley. One of the biggest matchups of this game is going to be Khalil Mack against Andrew Whitworth. If Whitworth can kind of negate Mack in the way that he can prevent sacks from happening, and just keeping Mack away from Jared Goff and from Todd Gurley as a pass rusher and a run defender, it'll go a long way for the Rams, and it'll give them a really good chance to come away with the win on Sunday night. But the Bears are really good against the run. They're number two right now in yards allowed. They have the most takeaways of any defense. It's a team that capitalizes on mistakes made by quarterbacks and running backs, whether they get loose with the ball or if quarterbacks simply just make poor decisions. Eddie Jackson is a pick six machine. Adrian Amos is a really good safety back there. So it's a difficult team, even for the Rams. I expect it to be somewhat close, especially with Mitchell Trubisky coming back. And this is a Bears team that's going to be motivated after that loss to the Giants, hoping to keep their playoff hopes alive for getting that NFC North title, possibly getting a second seed if they do beat the Rams. So this is going to be a game with a lot of postseason implications and motivation for the Bears. So that's what's coming up on Sunday night. We'll be covering it. Again, be sure to follow the Rams Wire on Twitter. Be sure to follow me at Cam DeSilva. We'll be live tweeting throughout the game, posting highlights, post-game recaps, and takeaways. So be sure to follow us on Twitter. Always tune into the ramswire.usatoday.com. And hopefully we'll talk to you guys next week after a Rams victory and potentially locking up that number two seed.